Welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
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 That translates to Welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
Hello and welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
Well, I wonder where your thoughts have gone in these days following the events of what we now call Easter Sunday. In this week, following the resurrection of Jesus, how have you continued to reflect? Well, as I said, I like these post-resurrection accounts because I think I can relate to the disciples and kind of the way that they're feeling. And as I've read the accounts in the Gospels and have considered the way life continued for them, I was reminded this year of how Jesus sought just to continue his work of reconciliation. He died a sacrificial death, an unbelievably painful and horrific death. And yet in these appearances following his resurrection, his priority is to forgive, to restore, to recommission and send out, to assure his disciples of his love for them, far from dismissing them or being even cross or angry with them. He is forgiving and loving. He continues to show grace and love, and he wants to give them, his followers, an assurance of his peace. Far from feeling they have let Jesus down or disconnected from him, Jesus wants them to remember all that he's taught them, and he wants to prepare them for the work of sharing the gospel with the world. We find the disciples hiding, don't we? I don't know if you were a fan of hide and seek as a child. Still a favourite, I believe. Well, the kids at Aston definitely still play hide and seek. I did something really cruel once. The kids were only really little. And I hid from them just because one day I just thought, oh, this would be fun. So I could see them, no need for anyone to be concerned. But I could see them, but I just hid to see what they would do. And Jess, I remember saying to Sam, we've actually made her disappear. And I'm fairly sure that they wish they had those powers in the years since. But no, I could see them and I was just hiding. Hide and seek can be fun. As I said, the kids at Aston love to play it. But this was not fun hiding. This was hiding in fear of your life. This is where we find the disciples in the reading. They'd witnessed Jesus, their teacher, their rabbi, betrayed by one of their own, tried and convicted, and then brutally executed. Their fear, understandably, was that they could well be next. And yet Jesus, we read, steps into their fear and speaks peace. We read that he breathes on the disciples and tells them, if you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not. Receive the Holy Spirit, he says. We might expect him to say, what are you doing locking yourselves away? Why are you living in fear? But as I was reminded this week as I read those accounts, Jesus continues to act in a way that draws his disciples to him. he continues that work of reconciliation, to forgive, to restore, and to send out. Jesus brings peace and the assurance that they aren't alone or hopeless. They have the power of the Holy Spirit. They can live in faith and trust and hope, not fear. Back in John 14, as Jesus teaches his disciples at their last meal, their last supper together, he speaks extensively about peace. He promises a peace that is different to anything the world has ever known. He promises a peace that is received rather than achieved. And I wonder, as I reflect on that, if I sometimes try to achieve peace, like it's something that I can create. I can change the atmosphere or the place I go or the people that I'm with to achieve peace. The peace that Jesus offers is a peace unlike anything the world can give. He offers me peace and you peace, and all we need to do is receive it. What a gift that is. Jesus sends the disciples out to continue his work in the power of the same Spirit which empowered his work from the beginning. That's amazing, isn't it? The same Spirit, the same power he gives to them. There's no mention of their past actions, the betrayals or the denials. All is forgiven, and he is now sending them out with a mission of forgiveness. Only God has the power to forgive, but they have the message of forgiveness available to all who believe in Jesus and accept him as Saviour. That same message of forgiveness is true for us today. As we continue to read, we come to doubting Thomas. Doubts can be very real, can't they? Very overwhelming. I read that the opposite of faith is not doubt, but fear, cynicism, and despair. The disciples learnt that they needed to counteract these negative forces with hope and justice and life. And we too, as followers of Jesus, need to bring faith and hope and life and worship into the places of fear and pain that we come into. Thomas doubts and questions and disbelieves. He isn't satisfied with the second-hand report. He wants to see for himself. And if we're honest, if we're really honest, can we blame him? He had, after all, seen his Lord, his friend, mistreated, beaten, and then crucified. Jesus was dead, and with him all the hopes and promises from the last 3 years perished as well. And in some ways, we might consider Thomas to be brave to voice his doubts. And sometimes, faith needs the freedom of questions in order to take hold. The author, David Lowe, suggests that true, vigorous, vibrant faith comes from the freedom to question, wonder, and doubt. We may doubt at times and question and wonder and discuss. I know I have to do that. My poor family are always involved in a discussion or a wonder. I wonder what about this? I wonder what that verse means or what that could mean. But despite my doubts and my questions and my discussions, I choose to believe. I choose to hold firm to my faith. Nothing, you see, can take away my own experience of Jesus, his forgiveness, his grace, his love and goodness to me. And so when the doubts and the questions come, that experience of Jesus remains real and helps me to hold on to my faith. The Reverend David Sellery says this of faith: faith is a fire that burns within us, fueled by God's grace. We must tend the fire or be left in the cold ashes of indifference. We are human. We get tired. We get distracted. We are sinners. We stray from our faith. We may even deny it. But faith is not of our creation. We did not will it into being any more than we willed ourselves into being. Faith is our response to God. It is the vehicle he has created to give himself to us, to connect with us, to draw us to him. When the disciples say they've seen Jesus, Thomas doesn't just doubt. He states that he won't believe without seeing the marks of the nails on Jesus. He can't imagine this would ever be possible, but it is. Thomas is confronted by the risen Lord, and his whole perception of what is possible changes. His understanding of what God can do changes. Thomas comes to believe. He sees Jesus for himself, and after that experience makes his own profound confession of faith as he says, "My Lord and my God." Like Thomas, when we're confronted with the risen Lord, our understanding of what God can do also changes. Our understanding of what God can do through us must also change. A pastor and teacher and writer, Lisa Hickman, wrote about all the documents and traditions that suggest that Thomas went on to spread the message of God's love to India, creating churches and growing God's kingdom there. His humble confession of "my Lord and my God" was the start of a movement from doubt to ministry. She goes on to discuss the way that she feels Easter faith is not about certainty. The reality of Easter is the complexity of living anew in a broken creation. She visited a church in Helsinki for the Thomas Mass. The St. Thomas Mass invites doubters and seekers to celebrate, worship God, serve their neighbour, and grow together. Those who feel sinful and weak in faith are especially welcome. I love that. And as I read, I felt it was really refreshing and honest. Because as churches, we need to be places where those who haven't quite got it all figured out are welcome. Because I haven't quite got it all figured out. I don't know about you. Yet, maybe sometimes we feel we should have, or we feel that people expect us to. Another Reverend, Andy Myers, who's now retired, wrote of his church in the Church Times. He said this: "If you want a church where you get a welcome to rival an American diner, where everyone is theologically articulate and no one doubts, and one that is financially viable because it is packing them in and poised every Sunday to provide a worship experience that can compare with the Leeds Festival, don't come to the ones I have the privilege of journeying with. But if you want to sit alongside people who struggle with all the issues of real life and who have found something in the way of Jesus Christ which has captivated them, while many of the issues and life struggles remain the same, come and sit alongside us." Thomas didn't have it all figured out. Yet we have heard about the way that he went on to serve God and lead others to God. The disciples came together in fear, but they went out together in faith. They drew strength from Jesus and shared it with each other. For believers today, the light of faith shines brighter in some than others at different times. And we all go through times when our faith is stronger and times when it is not so strong. That is one reason why we come together like this, to support each other in prayer and fellowship. We share our faith and we see it grow and develop in one another. Faith builds on faith. My prayer this morning is that as we have looked at this passage together, we will find something new to help us continue on our journey of faith. That we will keep on choosing to believe despite the doubts that may come. And in the times when we may feel we don't have it all figured out, we can still celebrate and worship together. We will still serve our community and grow together. And this morning, as we just share some time in prayer and reflection, I wonder if you need Jesus to step into your fear and speak words of peace, the peace that only he can give. If that's the case, ask him. I wonder if you need Jesus to forgive and restore you, to remind you of your personal experience of him and all he's done for you and through you. I wonder if you need to accept what God is sending you out to do and allow the Holy Spirit to equip and empower you as he did for the disciples. Are you needed to bring hope and love and life into places of despair and pain? Well, we're going to sing together as we just spend that time in prayer. And these words say, "Thank you for saving me. What can I say? You are my everything. I will sing your praise. You shed your blood for me. What can I say? You took my sin and shame, a sinner called by name. Great is the Lord, for we know your truth has set us free. You've set your hope in me." Remain seated as we sing these verses through. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Jesus, we are so grateful and thankful. Our hearts are full of thanksgiving for all that you have done for us. Jesus, we thank you that you treat us in that same way that you treated your disciples, with mercy and forgiveness and grace and love. And Lord, we don't deserve it, but that is how you are. That is your heart for us, grace and love. And so I just thank you. I just thank you for each person who's gathered this morning, Lord, that we recognise that we're all at different places in our journey, that we will have doubts, and you understand that, Father, and that we can support each other, that we can pray for one another, and that as we share our experience of you, that we can learn from one another, and that is what church is all about, Lord, supporting one another and helping each other in our journey of faith. And I thank you, Lord, for each person here and all that they bring to this fellowship, all that they bring to this family of your children. And I just ask that you would continue to bless this church family, this core, and that as they go through change, Lord, in the coming months, that they will know your peace and your presence and your love. Lord, we want to pray for Claire and Adrian and for Hazel as they have spent time being refreshed and renewed this week. I just pray that you will continue to be very near to them, Lord, in these days, and that they will know your presence and your guidance and your love with them. And so as we go into this week, Lord, we don't know what this week will hold for each one of us, but we know that you go with us. And we know, Lord, that you surround us and that, Holy Spirit, you will empower and equip us to do your work in the places that we will find ourselves, to be an influence for good, Lord, to bring hope, to bring a word of witness of your love, to share our experience of you, Jesus, with those who we meet. And so we would just ask that you would be with us. And Father, we're grateful for this time that we can share together. We know that there are many who don't get that opportunity. And so we're grateful for the safety and security in which we can worship you together this morning. I just pray that for each of us, our hearts will continue to listen to you and will continue to respond to all that you have to say to us. We make our prayer in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.